Something. Now you see me. Now you don't.
It's magic.
The only thing this hat's good for is the trash can.
Let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your Thursdays are off to a great start. I'm Dirt. He's Swag. We're in the middle of the Magic Hat. We got Brady Henderson coming up in about 20 minutes from now. So we'll talk some Seahawk preseason with him, the hard knock bump, the Terrion Arnold story, all that with Brady. And then we'll get you set for your first full night of preseason football with six games across the National Football League. What else is in the Magic Hat?
Good naked?
Two for two right out of the gate. This is solid. You pulled two good ones to get the juices flowing in this segment. No pun intended. Have you ever thought about what it would be like to eat at a restaurant where everybody is naked?
No.
Has it ever been something that's occurred to you of like, you know what, that'd be kind of fun?
No.
I'd like to go to a restaurant, prime rib, and be naked.
I'm not comfortable naked, when it's an appropriate time to be naked.
Even in the proper duty times, you still don't feel comfortable. I appreciate the honesty. One of the best Seinfeld episodes of all time was the good naked or bad naked. Jerry has a girlfriend who wants to be naked, and some things she does around the house are good. That's good naked.
Yeah.
And then, you know, trying to open a pickle jar, it's like, is veins popping out? So there's good naked and there's bad naked. And dare I ask, is this good naked?
All right. Well, a restaurant in Hollywood is offering a new way to wine and dine. The only thing not required, clothes. NBC6's Valerie Ryan joins us live outside the restaurant with more tonight. Okay. Is there, Valerie?
There's no one in the restaurant right now, and there's definitely nobody nude in the restaurant. The owner says they've started this new dining experience for the past 3 months, and the goal of it is simple. It's to help keep business afloat in today's economy. Nestled in the heart of Hollywood is Class Steakhouse Soiree.
Class is an acronym for culinary luxury and superb service.
Owner and chef Murad Ali says they've been up and running for about 8 years. Now you can enjoy a nice meal here any day of the week, but there's one night a month where things look a little different.
The first Monday of every month, we have our nude dinner where guests can come and just take their clothes off and have a great dinner.
Okay. Ali says the blinds go down and the clothes come off.
It's legal because the windows are completely blacked out. No one can see from outside. Our staff are fully clothed. So there's no entertainment from us. The entertainment is just dinner.
Oh, thank you for clarifying.
Idea came after the restaurant hosted a private party for nudists.
Once the event was finished, my idea said, let's do it ourselves.
Now the experience is open to adults with a five-course meal and a few extra
layers
of cleanliness.
Meal.
We have a robe that everyone is offering. We have a leather seat cushion. Which is sanitized.
Got clean your seats.
We also have a lap towel.
And the concept may not be for everyone, but Ali says that's exactly the point.
This is not your grandpa's steakhouse, okay? This is Chef Ali's experience for people who want to do something different.
So for anyone that does want to participate in this experience, the next nude dining experience is set for September 7th. We're live in Hollywood tonight.
Booking flights.
Let's go down to Hollywood, Florida. So, if you have people asking what Hollywood are we talking, it's Hollywood, Florida.
Hollywood, Florida
is where this is taking place. That was NBC6 in Hollywood, Florida, down in South Florida. And I think the question needs to go out.
This is Chef Ali's experience.
I love Class. Is the name of the restaurant too. This is horrible naked, right?
Yes.
I've never had the idea of, you know what would be great in this restaurant if I and everybody else were naked. Never in a million years. Because if you're going out, let's just play the game.
Exactly.
If you're going out to a five-course steakhouse dinner.
Yes.
Who are you going with?
You're most likely going with your significant
other. Significant other.
Right.
If you just want to have a naked dinner with them, have a naked dinner with them at home.
Yeah.
I don't need to have, one, the distractions of naked people surrounding me.
No.
Let alone both of us being naked.
And it never helps the dude.
No,
okay?
No.
Either.
Our stuff's covered up. I got a lap towel, according to the chef.
You got a lap towel and a robe if you need.
If you need it. There's no chest towel. They don't have a chest towel.
No. Plus, you're at a steakhouse.
It's a steakhouse. In a five-course meal?
There's steak knives floating around. Something gets knocked off the table.
You get poked.
Also, if your significant other is, you know, significant.
Sure.
Now everybody's staring.
The whole time. Everybody's eyeballing your significant other.
If you're at a point in your relationships where, you know, things have gotten a little tired, your eyes are wandering.
Yes.
It's a no-win situation.
It's a lose-lose.
And a five-course meal at a steakhouse is going to be costly.
I don't know if I've ever had a meal naked in my life, to be honest with you. You ever had a naked meal?
Not a naked meal. Have
naked
you ever
snack,
had, like,
maybe a naked bite of food?
Breakfast in bed, maybe?
Yeah, but I don't, I guess, yeah, maybe after, you know, because I don't sleep nude.
No.
So there's always something. So if I wake up and just have breakfast, no other activities,
no.
I do technically have clothes on.
Yeah. I just have no desire.
I enjoy this from a P1. He said, I've got a nice package, but I don't like being naked in my own house. Boxers is all I would need.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's an uncomfortable nature of being naked no matter where you go, especially at a restaurant that I just don't.
No.
I don't want that. I don't need. I no desire for it whatsoever. I love that there was a nudist group that came in and booked out a
restaurant.
Well,
look, I understand that. You're probably not far from a nudist beach. They were probably thinking, okay, we're going to go do this, and we have, you know, let's see if we can get the steakhouse. So
right.
I could see that happening.
The nudie people.
And the chef's like, okay, how many people are coming in? You're gonna buy out the whole steakhouse for the night. I'm gonna make some damn money. Great.
I think people who want to be naked need to find activities that are more enjoyable to do naked. Like the we have the naked bike ride that transpires.
Very Portland.
Why does anybody want to be on a bike when you're naked?
I don't know.
Why don't you do a naked walk? Wouldn't that be better? I don't want my butt cheeks on that seat. That's not comfortable.
I don't know. Like I said, I am only naked when it's
naked beaches make sense because you're at a beach and you're laying
there
and you're like,
hey,
you want stuff out? Put your stuff out. I got no issue with that. At a restaurant? Eating food? Five courses? No, thank you. All right.
There's a snake in my helmet. I'm sure a lot of people have seen this by now, but. That was my best Woody.
That was pretty solid. I like that. Well done.
Maumelle, Arkansas.
Okay.
High school football team. We're doing 2 days.
We'll have to get Dave Kinsella on that one. Arkansas native. How do we pronounce it?
Yeah. Anyway. I've never played organized football, never wore
never
a helmet.
Never played organized football, really?
No.
No flag football, even when you were a kid?
I was very skinny and scrawny growing up.
Yeah.
So I played soccer, and I ran cross country and all of those things.
Yes.
So, football player, going along, said his helmet felt weird, but didn't notice anything. Had been practicing for an hour.
Okay, but helmet isn't fitting.
And it wasn't fitting. He finally got an assistant coach or something, and they looked at it and discovered a cottonmouth pit viper, 2 foot.
Excuse
had
me?
Curled up. 2 foot venomous cottonmouth pit viper, according to experts, the second most venomous snake that's native to Arkansas.
Just chilling in his helmet.
So it was kind of got in, curled up, tucked behind the pads in your helmet.
Oh, my God.
Kind of wrapped around it.
Oh, my God.
You couldn't really see it. But apparently somebody was looking at it, and assistant coach was like, Dude. There's a snake in your helmet.
Throw it out.
So they eventually called police. They were trying to figure out how to coax it out. They didn't know what to do. They finally put it in a big bucket of water.
Right, to try and get it out of there.
And it started to poke its head out a little bit,
Holy hell.
But apparently the kid practiced for like an hour.
For an hour, and
something.
He had a poisonous snake just chilling in his helmet?
The fact that it did not bite him or do anything, that just stayed there, is a miracle in and of itself.
Holy hell, man.
Could you ever?
I would be scarred for life. Every time I put on a helmet the rest of my life,
I just wonder if you could even, like, continue to play. Like, I'm not going to put on a helmet. If you can't put on a helmet, you can't play football.
You can't play football. I've had that. Years ago, I saw a thing about a guy who got, I can't remember if it was a snake or a spider, but it was one of those, like, Nat Geo worst way to dies thing.
Yeah.
And he walked into his garage, and he put on, like, his lawn mowing shoes, basically, the shoes that stay in the garage or stay outside. Puts them on, doesn't make much sense of it. Next thing you know, he keels over dead, and it was because there was a poisonous spider in his shoe, bit him in the foot, didn't know what was happening. Maybe it was a snake. I can't remember, but it was something along those lines, and it has scarred me to the point where now every time I put on a pair of shoes that are outside, 100% of the time you're gonna get me to bump it on the ground, shake it out a little bit, poke my fingers in there, see if anything. I will double check to make sure there's nothing in my shoe, even though it's ridiculous and we don't have that many poisonous things. I do it every time I put my shoes on.
Yeah, so yeah, they got animal services there, figured out what it was.
And horrifying story.
So they
thank God that kid's alive.
So they took it into a wooded area far from the school.
Yeah.
I mean,
chop it in half, man. Get rid of it. What do we need a cotton
I would
for?
Like just can you get it euthanize it? What are we I guess, you know. Well, I mean, I'm sure they eat critters and varmints and things like that out in the woods that
I guess that's true.
Keep them from overtaking the place, but still.
Right.
I can't imagine spiders. I don't think would, you know, that wouldn't traumatize me. That
depends on the kind of spider, though, does it not? Like, if it's just a normal, like,
I don't know.
If you had a black widow and if you put on a helmet that you would wear or something along those lines, there's a black widow in there.
I think I'd be conscious of it, but I don't think I would be traumatized. This would
do it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not like freaking out of snakes the way Sprague does.
Yes.
Which is hilarious on a golf course.
I really want to play more snake jokes on him. That's a New Year's resolution for me for next year.
We have to be very careful.
I know, like, but also
he's mortified, terrified.
I will never forget playing
snakes
with him at what I can't
remember.
Was it Tri Mountain?
And
he
saw
were
little garter snakes.
Little garter snake. Maybe 8 inches long, maybe.
Dude,
he screamed.
He could not concentrate on anything else.
And ran 40 feet away in the other direction. And we just looked at him like, what's the matter with you? It's a garter snake.
My dad had a pet tarantula for a while. Yeah. I've held one of those. And
I'm not huge on spiders, but they don't make me scream.
I haven't
been
around scorpions. Scorpions might weird me out.
Yeah.
Because I haven't spent enough time down
in the
desert. Exactly.
Yeah, that's a little shocking.
Spiders don't tend to freak me out, though.
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of spiders.
I don't seek them out.
I don't scream when I see them.
No, I don't scream. I was like, oh, all right, I better go get that guy. Let me find some tissue or Kleenex and crunch him up.
Well, thank God that kid's alive. That is a horrifying story. Oh. I'm glad he's still breathing.
Kid grabbed a helmet and went and kept going to practice.
What a tough kid, too, to practice through that, too. Kid's not even, the helmet's not fitting right. Get through it. Don't be a candy ass.
All right. Whatever it takes.
This is fantastic. Whatever it takes, man, maybe I have found what it's going to take for us to get over the hump in the World Cup. Because there is a story out of South Korea that I want to know. One, do we respect the hustle? Two, if you're a referee, what's your answer?
Uh-oh.
The government's Ministry of Culture, Sports, and Tourism of South Carolina has issued a report.
Wait, South Korea?
Or excuse me, what did I say?
South Carolina.
Did I say South Carolina? South Korea, thank you very much. I'm like, what did I just say? Yeah, no, not South Carolina. That's not a country. That's a state. South Korea and their football association has released a public report basically indicating they found that this organization paid for sexual entertainment at massage parlors on at least 8 different occasions from 2011 to 2012 for foreign referees and football officials visiting South Korea. 3 of the matches involved were qualifiers for the World Cup and the Olympic Games. In total, they spent the KFA, the Korean Football Association, spent nearly $5.6 million on sexual entertainment in a one-year period. And many of these times, KFA employees allegedly filed false expense reports, chalking up the charges to meals, drinks, or standard
massages. You know who should be listening to this? You know who wants to get the most for his buck? Tom Dundon.
I got an idea
for
you, Tom.
We are in the strip capital of the United States.
I got an idea for you.
You know
okay?
what you want to do? Quit worrying about roster construction.
Go book yourself a back room.
When those officials wander into town, you make sure you get them set up at the proper establishment here in Portland.
God bless the beaver.
couple of questions here. One, do we respect the hustle from South
Korea? Yes.
I don't think it worked for them. I imagine it don't, but I don't remember their World Cup success or Olympic success back
very
then.
Much
this was like 10 or 11,
hustle.
Right? It was 15 years ago. And two, you're an official. Hey, we booked you a massage.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, very thank you. Oh, you. Is that oh. part of your culture? Is this how you...
Exactly.
Is this a normal thing you guys do over here? Unbeknownst to me, I don't know what you guys are doing over here.
Epa!
God bless the beaver.
Good for South Korea. Maybe we should take a note out of their book. Let's start buying the officials of FIFA more sexual favors, and maybe we'll make it to a quarterfinal at some point.
Yeah.
There is your magic hat.
We know how they feel about bribes.
They'll take them. I mean, we bribed them to get the damn World Cup here. Evidently, we didn't bribe them enough. There you go. There is your magic hat for this Thursday morning, a little bit earlier than usual, and that is because we got a good friend Brady Henderson coming on next, and we'll talk all things the Hard Knock bump. Seahawks are talking about adding Terrion Arnold. What do we expect in their first preseason game, which will be Sunday night? You can hear it right here on The Fan. So we'll have our good friend Brady Henderson.
Have you seen Brady? Has Brady gotten a cameo in Hard Knocks?
That's a great question. I don't think I've noticed him, but I'm curious to ask him.
Okay,
and we need him to like do something in front of a camera. Go jump in front of one.
Go
find the eagle. Yeah, you need a massage, Brady. Brady Henderson of ESPN next. On the fam. Harley chiming in on the YouTube chat saying he's found his fantasy football league's punishment. Make him go to Hollywood, Florida, do a little nude dining. Golly, I just can't. I don't understand how that's a thing and why that's desirable. If you've got to be a little, there is a shade of creepy if you're interested in a naked dinner where there's an ulterior motive there where you're trying to get something else done. I just don't quite compute it. But a fun magic hat nonetheless, and let's talk some NFL football, shall we? The preseason kicks back into high gear tonight. We had the Hall of Fame game last week, and now we go to talk some Seattle Seahawks football because they play their first game, and the full slate kind of kicks in tonight with six different games. Our good friend Brady Henderson of ESPN covering the Seahawks, at Brady Henderson on Twitter is where you can go give him a follow. Brady, good morning to you, man. Thanks for the time today. I've been watching, and I've been pretty enthralled with it, even though I poo-pooed McDonald a little bit at the start, thinking he might be boring. Certainly is not the case. Have we seen Brady Henderson's mug on Hard Knocks yet?
No, thankfully. No, I have... I thought that I would be, I've been trying my hardest to stay away from the cameras and, it gets tough when they're set up in the press conference and the only place to stand sometimes is like right in the background of a camera. But no, thankfully, I really haven't seen any reporters. So, I don't know, maybe some people are actually trying to get on camera to no avail, but I'm not trying, and so far it's working.
I'm still waiting. I want them to show your boat, man. That should be a part of one of the episodes. What are we doing here, Hard Knocks? Figure it out. Let me ask you this, though, because you've been covering the Seahawks for a long time. You've been at camp for a long time. I think one of the concerns teams have with it is like how invasive it is and how much, is it a distraction? Is it time consuming? Like when you're walking around camp this year as opposed to last year, is there a significant difference in having them around?
You notice them. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think the number is like 35 crew members in terms of people who are actually on site every day, between the camera people and the sound people and the producers and all that. So, you definitely notice them. These days there are like every NFL team has its own in-house kind of production people because they're doing those, just in-house documentary style content. And then you got the camera people who are there filming practice for them to, review it and actually, learn from it. So there usually are quite a few camera people there. There's definitely more this year. So yeah, I notice it. I mean, I believe how it works is, in some of those meeting rooms, they have like the team position meeting rooms. They have kind of cameras that are just like smaller cameras that are just set up.
Right.
And I think the idea there is that, it's supposed to be less invasive and it's supposed to, maybe not deter players from being themselves and saying what they would normally say, like they would if there was a full, a boom mic and a camera person in there and everything. So, the cameras are still in the locker room. They're still going in the facility. So, I imagine to some degree it is somewhat invasive for them.
Yeah, the nanny cam stuff is nice. I'm with you there. It kind of allows them to be themselves. Brady Henderson, our guest, covering the Seahawks for ESPN, at Brady Henderson on Twitter. They played their first preseason game Sunday night. You can hear it right here on The Fan. Last one on Hard Knocks, and I obviously have some actual football questions for you. But it's been a nice, like, I'd imagine for Seahawks fans, it's like porn, man. Like, you're watching your coach. Everybody's loving the way the show has been represented. I thought the last episode was awesome. Like, just what have you made of the way that it has portrayed Seattle? And it seems seems like it's been a very positive thing for them.
I think both episodes have been fantastic. And you know, I went into this kind of thinking that I may be a little underwhelmed, just knowing that, A, you know, I'm out there every day and some of this stuff is you know, going to be stuff that I've already seen. And B, I wondered if we would get kind of a sanitized version, you know, just knowing that this team doesn't really do drama. And, right. you know, I don't know if a lot of teams really want to put all their business out there. I've been blown away by how much has been in there, the stuff that they have, you know, allowed to be in there. And I think beyond that, it's also, I would say, it's just a really accurate look at who the Seahawks are. And I don't know if that is always the case on Hard Knocks. I've talked to, I remember talking to a reporter who covered a team that was on the show years ago. And I want to say he said that there was one scene that was kind of fabricated, more or less. And I've talked to another player who was on the show with another team. And he was like, yeah, you know, it was amazing how guys would really just sort of, they would turn on when the camera would come on, yeah. and it would sort of, you know, do these put ons to try to, you know, in a bid for screen time on Hard Knocks, and it really wouldn't be who they were. And what I've seen is just a completely accurate look at who the Seahawks are. And, you know, look, it's reality TV. There's always going to be, you know, some editing liberties that are taken. I've noticed a couple of really minor ones, but nothing that really changes the meaning of anything in any significant way. And it's just, look, this is a real look at what life is like inside that building, who these people are, and what that locker room is all about.
Yeah, it's the most I've enjoyed two episodes in quite some time, to be probably since like the Dan Campbell one, just because he was such a big, like, chaotic personality years ago. This one has been, it's been really good through 2 weeks. Okay, let's get to football. With a little adjacent Hard Knocks, because something we saw in the last episode was a Terry and Arnold workout. That was fascinating to kind of see that in real time. And it seemed like, all right, is this going to happen? Now he's going, bouncing around, working out in other places. Just kind of, where is Seattle at on that? Is it a risk you think they should take? And what do we know about the idea of adding a veteran corner?
Well, I mean, they're in the mix. And I think it was clear, even before Hard Knocks, it was clear from what Mike McDonald said about it on Monday, a day after they brought Terry and Arnold in for a visit, that you know, this is more than just kicking the tires. I mean, you know, back when I think their name first got linked to Terrion Arnold, it was after his arrest, and I think his agent was sort of testifying on his behalf to try to get him to not have to wear an ankle monitor as a condition of being out on bond. And the agent said, yeah, the Seahawks were, you know, one of the teams that have reached out. So you could have said at that point, okay, well, the Seahawks look at everything, and maybe that was just their due diligence. Clearly, there's a lot more than due diligence. This is legitimate interest. Now, there's legitimate interest, and there is being willing to go for it and to sign the guy and to take on the risk that would mean taking on. And you sort of saw a little bit of it in Hard Knocks, where, you know, the first in one of the early clips they show about the Terrion Arnold situation, it's John Schneider in his office with another front office member. And they're trying to come up with examples of other, you know, other teams that have acquired players while they've had like legal situations hanging over their head. And he's clearly trying to gauge like what the fallout would be, like PR wise, like how much blowback he would get. So clearly that is something that they are concerned about. I think the ownership situation being in transition also complicates matters, because you don't know, you know, how the soon to be owners are going to feel about something that, depending on the timing, they may not have the opportunity to sign off on. So that, I think, is another weird dynamic of this. And the other fact of the matter is, it sounds like they're going to have competition. He visited the Saints right after Seattle visited the Giants yesterday, and you heard John Harbaugh sort of with some, I guess, similar comments to what Mike McDonald said on Monday. And in both cases, it sounded like a coach who was very much interested in signing that player.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be curious to see how that plays out and what the backlash will actually be. I guess from just the football angle of it, is it a move you think? I don't know. I have a hard time with this. I know that they lost pieces in the offseason. We know that they have such a good, you know, defensive-minded head coach, right? And so I tend to trust that side of the ball. Where does it move the needle from a football standpoint for you if they do sign him? And does it change anything about the way you feel about the team?
Well, it's a great question, but it's a hard one to answer because we don't know when Terrion Arnold is right. going to be available. Right. So I would wonder about the possibility of the commissioner's exempt list, which is basically like a paid leave that the commissioner can put a player on this list. And I believe he can be in the facility. He can you know, take part in meetings and he gets paid, but you can't play while you're on this list. And the idea is it just gives the NFL time to look into this ongoing legal matter. I mean, just the way with the justice system, the way we know it works is he's probably not going to have a trial anytime soon.
Right.
So it's not like there's going to be legal resolution to this before the season starts, or probably not before the season ends, I would imagine. But the commissioner's exempt list exists for that reason, to where, you know, the NFL can sort of take control of the situation. So does he go on the commissioner's exempt list, and is he maybe available like later in the season? You did hear John Schneider in the Hard Knocks clip talk about, you know, they got to sort of prepare their roster for November, December, you know, yeah. December, January, whatever it said. So that sort of made me think that maybe this is a guy that they wouldn't have until later in the season. But whenever they have him, I mean, I think he would be an upgrade over the current options at number three cornerback. He was a guy that they really liked in the 2024 draft. And I think if things had fallen differently, like if Byron Murphy wasn't there and they found a trade partner to get in the 20s, I think they very easily could have ended up with Terrion Arnold. Tough to judge his career so far. Kind of had some penalty issues first season and a half. He missed half the season last year with a shoulder injury that eventually required surgery. So he also is coming off an injury, which is another bit of this. But I think at his best, I think he'd be a better option than the guys they currently have vying for that number three cornerback spot.
Yeah, that's a good point. We're talking with Brady Henderson of ESPN. As I get something stuck in my throat while I'm asking a question. At Brady Henderson on Twitter, the Seahawks play their first preseason game against the Cowboys Sunday night, 5 o'clock. You can hear it right here on The Fan. So Saturday night, 5 o'clock. As we look forward to that preseason game number one, what do we know about who's in and who's out? And what are the things that this is the week of preseason football that I love because we're all excited for it and it's here. And then you kind of lose sight of it. And then, you know, the regular season kicks in. But these first couple of games are always a ton of fun to watch. What are we looking forward to? And what, you know, who do we know that is playing that will be in the lineup?
I don't know. And I'm not even sure if they know yet. Mike McDonald made a comment the other day about how they may do things a little differently with their quarterbacks in the preseason this year. And if you remember last year, Darnold didn't play in the first game, only got like 10, 11 snaps. I think it was just the one series in the second game. And then Jalen Milroe played the entire game. So I don't say it's hard for Sam Darnold to play any less than he did. You would think that you would want to get him some reps, a quarterback reps in a newish offense. But then again, you know, that is what their joint practices are for. And Mike McDonald is a big believer in joint practices. They're going to do one of those next week with Tennessee. And maybe like last year, maybe that suffices for like significant, you know, preseason action for the quarterback. So I don't know. I mean, like Jadarian Price, I would wonder, like he's been injured, dealing with a minor injury. I don't know if they're going to want to put him back out there, especially considering like you're already dealing with other injuries in your backfield, and you really cannot afford to lose that guy. So I would imagine that, you know, maybe they play it safe with him. So that's a long-winded answer of saying I don't know, but I would not be surprised if we do not see a lick of Sam Darnold or Jadarian Price or most of the number one offense on Saturday.
Yeah, a lot of twos probably. Last one for you, Brady. I'm curious, now that we're a couple of weeks into camp, we'll start getting some preseason action. Like when you look at this team and the way it's constructed, what is the biggest question? Is it a new offensive coordinator, the, you know, running back position not having Super Bowl MVP, the depth pieces defensively? Like, what's the biggest looming thing for you that, hey, if Seattle doesn't have the same success or repeat, which is incredibly difficult to do in the NFL, that's maybe the thing that should be non at Seahawk fan right now a little bit?
You know, I 3 weeks ago, I probably would have said the new offense, just because you're as much as Brian Fleury has going for him and is understandable of a hire as that was, you're talking about a first-time play caller, you know, and there's just no, as my friend Brock Heward likes to say, there is no substitute for experience when it comes to play calling. And, you know, it would not shock me if there are some you know, just hiccups along the way in terms of growing pains of doing it for the first time. You know, Clint Kubiak, he had done it several times. He had been a play caller, I think, two or three times before getting the Seattle job last season. And, you know, Brian Fleury will be doing it for the first time. You know, he, that said, like, offenses look pretty good for, you know, learning a, and again, it's not a new offense. It's pretty, very similar to what they were doing, but there are some new aspects of it. So considering that, and considering they are going up against what was the best defense in the NFL last season, every day, the offenses look pretty good. So I still might go the coordinator. But I would say a close second would be the backfield and what is that run game going to look like without Ken Walker's explosiveness? When are they going to get Zach Charbonnet back? What is Jadarian Price going to be able to do as he steps into not like a true number one role by any means, but a bigger role than what he was asked to do while he was backing up Jeremiah Love at Notre Dame. So just the offensive coordinator and the run game, those would be the two biggest questions for me.
Yeah, we'll see if any answers are if we get any answers to the questions. Saturday night, preseason game one against Dallas. You can hear it right here on The Fan at 5 o'clock. Brady Henderson covering the Seahawks for ESPN at Brady Henderson on Twitter. One of our favorites, man. We always appreciate the time. Thanks so much, and let's do it again soon.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks for having me.
There
Take
you
care.
Go. Brady Henderson of ESPN talking some Seattle Seahawks. They play on Saturday night against Dallas right here on The Fan.
Yep. Preseason 3 o'clock football. Pregame, 5 o'clock
kick. If I remember correctly from their first preseason game last year, I remember watching it. I think it was just the just Jalen Milroe going crazy, if I remember correctly. Like, you just go out there, kid. We had nobody had any idea how good or bad Sam Darnold was going to be at the time. And I remember, to Brady's point, he was not playing in that game. And it was just like, yeah, see what you got. Go run around.
See if they've got a depth chart.
I mean, if Brady Henderson doesn't know who is and is not playing, I don't think they're going to have a depth chart up of other guys. He's not the backup. Drew Locke's the backup. But I don't know if you want to throw Locke in there.
And Milroe.
Yeah.
And I don't see.
One of the games Milroe's going to play, like, just give him a game.
Yeah.
Run around, see what you can do.
That'll probably be the last one. Usually that game three, anybody.
Well, a lot of teams handle it differently. That's a tough part. Yeah. I'm going to get to that in the final segment of, like, a lot of guys are, some guys are playing tonight. Like, we got some good quarterbacks who are playing. I don't know how much they're going to play, but
the Bills
the
say
tonight.
The Josh Allen and the starters are at least going
to go play a series.
Play then, a little bit.
So some people then shut down week one and then play guys week two and week three. Some guys shut down, you know, play week one, week two, and then shut down week three.
I mean, the Seahawks only have three quarterbacks on the roster.
Yes. I imagine you want to keep Locke healthy. Let Milroe go run around and play, you know, see what he got for a game, whether it's tonight or game three, or Saturday or game three. We'll find out. Seahawks coverage on The Fan presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi. One prize, 5 years, guaranteed Xfinity. Imagine that. We'll wrap it up, get you set for your night in preseason football. Let's build a parlay, shall we, on The Fan. Hey, don't forget Binary Brewing and The Fan have teamed up for the Only Fan IPA, available for a limited time. Taste The Fan with Binary Brewing's signature West Coast IPA. Go to Binary Brewing's Beaverton location and ask them about their Only Fan. So good, Only The Fan. And Binary Brewing can pull it off.
Wow. That's over in my neck of the woods.
Been over yet? You haven't even been over to have The Fan? You are The Fan.
I wonder
People
if...
People are tasting you. What's the matter with you? Go get yourself an Only Fan.
Next week, yeah. Hops are out of town next week. Maybe.
That's how they do it. That's how they make the OnlyFan. They hang you upside down. It goes drip, drip, drip.
I don't know.
To make the OnlyFan, man.
You think they'd pour one out for me?
I would hope so. You're the fan.
I am the fan.
You are the fan.
Am I? Suk, Isaac, and I, of the three of us.
Yeah, who's more fan?
Who's more fan?
That's a great question.
Isaac's been here the longest.
Isaac's been here the longest.
Suk and I showed up around the same time.
I might give you the nod based on the amount of responsibilities that you wear. Based on the amount of, you know, backpacks that you're carrying around. You know,
Rop is all about Rop.
Yes, Rop is Rop.
I think it's between Suk and I.
Yes, it is. Newly married man, some are alleging, a newly married man.
Yes, we heard.
And some people are, I don't know who said it, but it's been out there. People are talking about going to the wedding and having a good time.
We need to have Brooke back in the mail sack.
We need her back. There's
I don't
be a recurring
know how
bit.
We make that happen more often. Hopefully she enjoyed it.
I think she did.
I think she had a good time.
I think she had a good time.
Other than dealing with Sprague's.
Sprague's huge penis book, yeah. That'll throw you off a little bit if you're not quite ready for that one. All right, I'll get to the poll questions here in a moment. I have built, are you ready for this? Actually, no, hold on, let me hold my
poll. No, let's do the poll questions, and we should walk off with the preseason parlay.
Before I get to that,
night one.
Quickly, just a hilarious note that will not be as timely tomorrow that we have not talked about yet that's been in my notes. Did you see what the Eagles did to Jalen Hurts yesterday?
No.
Did you see this controversy? So they put out a social media, the Eagles account, right?
Eagles. Fly Eagles, fly Eagles, or whatever fly, the hell
I think it's just
it
at Eagles or whatever. They said right on cue, because Quinyon Mitchell, I think, right, is one of the quarterbacks, he got an interception in practice. Now, this has led to a very heated discussion, because in order to highlight an interception in practice, what are you all from a player? Like, hey, look at that defensive play.
That's mean your quarterback threw a pick.
You're highlighting that
unless
your quarterback.
It was a joint practice.
It was Jalen Hurts throwing the interception, and it was an ugly looking throw, and it was a bad interception. And everybody's like, I think the collective response has been, I don't know if I've ever seen a team showcase, like, you want to showcase a good defensive play, I guess.
That's
show
fine.
It from the other angle where you can't see
exactly
who the quarterback was.
Yeah.
And everybody's like,
show
are they
from the back, like rising up or
yes
from the ground? And he's
look,
like,
I don't know a lot
airborne
about Jalen Hurts, but he's too pretty to not be petty and be sensitive. Like, he just, him and AJ Brown, he's too good looking. He's gonna be offended by this. I'm already worried about the Eagles if I'm an Eagles fan. I digress. There you go. There's your Eagles controversy of the day. The
Eagles are not in action tonight.
No, they are not. Your poll questions for the last couple of days, I'll give you two. What is the biggest concern for Oregon this year? 48% of you say the new coordinators. That's the right answer. On the field, I answered offensive line, and we talked a little bit about that tomorrow. Let me go find. Here it is. How long? This is from 2 days ago.
Yes, this was during the best of
show.
But yeah,
how long will the Blazers be? How long until the Blazers are featured on Christmas Day again? And 32.4% of you say never again. Never. Now, part of that could be just a theory that the NBA eventually gives up on Christmas Day. Like, at what point does the NFL make them cry uncle to where they're just like, we got to move to another day. This is stupid. Because this is supposed to be one of their banner days of the year.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, man, you might be excited for Spurs and Knicks, and many people might be early in the morning. The NFL is going to blow them out of this universe the rest of the day.
Well, but I think
by the time the Packers and Bears game starts at 10 a.m., 98% of the country is flipping over.
Not New York.
not New York.
Because the first game's the MSG game.
Yes, so you got the New York market and the San Antonio market. Outside of that, who in their right mind would watch that over Bears and Packers? What are we doing here?
I don't care about preseason. Where's Christmas Day? I'm trying to...
The NFL schedule?
No, the NBA schedule.
Oh, the NBA, yeah.
Load more.
Load more. You're going to have to scroll for a bit. I'm assuming the first games are on ABC? Is that how it
Yeah, so
is?
It's ABC and ESPN. Yeah. So unless ABC ESPN gets NFL Christmas games,
which they would gladly take if they could get
which
them.
They would take.
Netflix right now has two of the three, and I can't remember if Fox or NBC has the third one.
So I think they would want counter-programming.
Mm. I just find it interesting of, like, will the NBA
now
ever say we need to find another day to cut
will
through?
They
like,
cut back from five games to now what ABC ESPN would love is, hey, why don't I get three NBA games
yeah
in the morning, early afternoon,
and then flip over to football
4 o'clock or 5 o'clock. Give me that prime time.
Here's
NFL
your tough part
game
with that. You need the NFL to play ball a little bit there, and the NFL ain't playing ball with anybody. They don't play ball. They do what they want to do.
Well,
they run the world.
Well, the NFL, I just have to pony up more and make that part of my Monday Night Football package.
The funny thing, too, would be when you say, well, you can move to Christmas Eve. Guess what? There's a Texans-Eagles game on Christmas Eve on Prime Video.
The NFL's parsing this bad boy out all over hell and gone.
So, yeah, I also don't think they'll ever be on a – it's not happening. We're not playing on Christmas Day. Your neighborhood restaurant group brings you the fan poll question on X every day, dinner tonight at one of their five locations, San Diego's Big Chicken, Rivers Barbecue, 808 Hawaiian, and Lower Horse Market Steakhouse. Here is what we know about who's in and who's out for tonight before we build our parlay.
Okay.
Jordan Love playing for the Packers.
Oh, okay.
Joe Burrow starting for the Bengals. Now, how many series and how long do they play? Yeah. I don't know. Anthony Richardson starting for the Colts. Does that do anything for you?
That's actually maybe the most interesting thing so far.
You got Jacoby Brissett versus Kirk Cousins in the Arizona-Vegas game, and you will get Cam Ward in the Tennessee game. So,
okay.
Trey Lance will start for the Chargers. Here is your parlay. I'm taking the Raiders -2.5. The Texans +1.5. I'm a big Davis Mills guy.
Ah.
And the over of 37.5 in Lions and Bengals. Mic drop. There's your preseason parlay.
We'll see how that goes. We can put another one together tomorrow.
We got more preseason football on the way, baby. That will do it for us, folks. If you missed any of the show, go check the podcast, 105onethefan.com, at 105onthefan on Twitter, at Turton Sprague on Twitter. Thanks so much for being a part of our Thursday. Timbers back in action. Isaac Atsouk live on location
live
today.
They're live at Mazatlan.
Look at us doing big things.
We got Timbers. We got NFL preseason. The Blazers full schedule dropped at noon today.
Oh, okay. So we can react to that a little bit tomorrow. You got the Field of Dreams game tonight. Nice little sports night, everybody. Enjoy it. And we will talk to you on a Football Friday at 6 a.m. tomorrow. The Firm, if Harrison Meringue is next. You're listening to 105.1 FM The Fam.